Ezekiel 19. As for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what was your mother? A lioness among lions. She lay down among young lions. She reared her cubs. When she brought up one of her cubs, he became a lion, and he learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. Then nations heard about him. He was captured in their pit, and they brought him with hooks to the land of Egypt. When she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion, and he walked about among the lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. He destroyed their fortified towers and laid waste their cities, and the land and its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. Then nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him. He was captured in their pit. They put him in a cage with hooks and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so that his voice would be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters, and it had strong branches fit for scepters of rulers, and its height was raised above the clouds, so that it was seen in its height with the mass of its branches. But it was plucked up in fury. It was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up its fruit. Its strong branch was torn off so that it withered. The fire consumed it, and now it is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty land. And fire has gone out from its branch. It has consumed its shoots and fruit, so that there is not in it a strong branch, a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. This morning, as we continue to make our way through Ezekiel's prophecy, we come to a lamentation. Most Christians, I trust, have heard of the Lamentations, that book in the Old Testament, immediately prior to Ezekiel. It is the Lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet, who lived as a contemporary at the same time as Ezekiel, but ministering in a very different sphere, ministering to those who would yet go into exile, warning them to have a tender heart. But we understand, of course, and we would think it natural, that Jeremiah, who we remember as the weeping prophet, that he would utter lamentations, that he would grieve, that he would mourn, that he would be utterly heartbroken and crushed in his spirit, and that he would utter these poetic words. But it is not only to Jeremiah that we go. Here, Ezekiel also utters a lamentation for what he sees taking place round about him. It was not simply limited to Jeremiah. Other prophets used this to express what God's heart was as he viewed what was taking place, the wickedness, the evil, hard hearts that would not submit to God's word. Ezekiel speaks, and he speaks not only for himself, but he speaks on behalf of the Lord. What does God think about what's going on? Is God careless? Does God say, well, you know, they chose badly and it's just what happens? God is absolutely heartbroken. I suspect that on the day when God came down to search for Adam and Eve, and when God said to Adam, what is this you have done? That there was a voice break, for God understood the hard path that had been chosen, and that it was to be a very difficult, painful road, of death and despair. We will not get into all of the details here in Ezekiel chapter 9 of what some of these things mean. But even as we considered back in Ezekiel chapter 17, where Ezekiel utters a parable of kings who gave leadership, but yet were set aside, and the people were left without leadership. Here, once again, in different terms, Ezekiel utters a very similar word to the people. How that the people had everything. God had blessed them. There was strength. There was blessing from heaven upon the land. But through foolishness, from carelessness, from lack of concern of God's ways, all of that had been lost. It was set aside. In verse 10, it's pictured that your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches. Once again, a picture of God's blessing, of God pouring out, as he had said to the people in the time of the Exodus, I am going to take you to a land of milk and honey. I will take you to a place where there is riches beyond your wildest imagination. Here is the picture. But once again, it's frittered away. It is lost. Here we stand immediately before the 149th birthday of our country, Canada Day, July the 1st. I would not want to be a wet rag to any celebrations that you would have planned for Friday, but I would suggest that even as God called out to his people, to his prophets, to the leadership, to be broken by what they see taking place round about us, about them, that we, in like manner, we who are God's people, who have been set here in the very geographical center of our great nation, that we have a broken heart. And you say, well, Pastor, that's not the sermon that I was hoping for in order to cheer me up for Canada Day. Remember, out of Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus said in the very second beatitude. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is a strength that comes from seeing what has taken place and being absolutely heartbroken for what is taking place. I will not, and I don't need to wax long, that our country, in many different avenues, is broken. We can fool ourselves by trying to look around us and say, well, we have nice streets, some of them. We have, infrastructure, and we have a lot of things in which the other parts of our world would love to have. But yet our country is broken. It is utterly broken. And these are things which we should rightly mourn for. Not for the physical pleasures that we receive in this country of blessing, but the spiritual apathy, the immorality, the sensuality that is absolutely consuming our country. The very heart that was there in Ezekiel's time, the very heart that was there in Jeremiah's time, the very same heart that was there in Isaiah's time more than 100 years before, is the same heart that is within our nation today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This morning we sang our national anthem. And of course, there is that interesting word, free. God keep our land. It is a prayer. Glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I've been thinking about the freedom of the free. People are desperately searching for freedom, but they don't know what it looks like. They've stumbled over it, but they've picked themselves up and cursed it and gone on their way. The Apostle Paul, in both Romans and Galatians, speaks both very pointedly about the freedom of the free. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." Now, some understand that, oh, wonderful, Christ has set us free, therefore I can do anything I want to do. Well, they need to just stop right there and keep reading. It was for freedom. This is a domain. This is like a kingdom. This is a place in which we come. It was for the domain of the free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And Paul says, therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 9, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And verse 13 and following, Paul says, you were called to freedom. Now he is speaking to people, some of whom did not know freedom. They were slaves within the ancient Mediterranean world. They did not know freedom such as we enjoy. But Paul says, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You're not free. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. And Paul gives a list here. Now consider the list that in our world, if people cannot push these aside, they redefine them. Consider how that every one of these words has been granted a new definition in our world. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. That's certainly been changed. Impurity. That's been changed. Sensuality. That's sure different than a few years ago. Idolatry. Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. Now we're so technical that we have a gauge in which, well, you're suddenly drunk when you pass the certain level on the meter. Drunkenness, carousing. And things like these, he says, this is not an exhaustive list, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, the beautiful fruit that comes when the farmer patiently tends the vineyard, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yes, you were set free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, Paul says at the outset of this chapter. And here is how he concludes. He says, you have been crucified. Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Here, Canada needs to have a comprehension of what it is to be free. Free is not meaning that we do our own thing, that we go our own way, but that we realize that whereas before, in our natural state, we had no choice but to serve the devil. We were not free. But Christ comes along and he pays the price. And he says, I will atone for all that you are and all that you have done. I will make you clean, and so that you can choose the one who you will serve. Only a fool would go back to the tyranny and to the slavery which they had just been set free from. It's like a pig that's just been washed up, then plowing back into that mud and just wallowing in it and loving it as much as ever before. Christ comes along. He sheds his blood that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might have a mind whereby we can make a choice to choose him. Why would you delay? Why would our country set aside the Lord who has so loved them in this way? The deeds of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. Choose what you will choose, but let your heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God, and pray for our country. And ask God that he would do such a work in our land. Bow with me now. Lord, we come before you and we pray once again for our country. We pray for our prime minister. We pray for our governor general. We pray for all of the cabinet ministers. We pray for every member of parliament. We pray for every member of the Senate. We pray, Lord, for everyone across our country, provincial and territorial leaders. We pray for city mayors, for MLAs and for councillors and for reeves. We ask, Lord, that you would do a work. Oh God, break our hearts. May we not be callous. May we not just throw up our hands and say, well, what's going to be is going to be. But may our hearts be broken, and may we come before you and say, Lord, would you do such a work in our land that men and women would honor you, that there would be a change of heart, that there would be a tenderness towards your work. And Lord, not only in the political sphere, but in the business world, in the world of academia, and in every school of whatever level, we pray for our community centers and for the social structures, for the medical centers and hospitals. Dear God, that there would be a work of your Spirit in our land. We look about us and we see that your word is desecrated, it is shunned, it is blasphemed. Lord, may it not be. May you have dominion once again from sea to shining sea, and from the southern border to the very farthest reaches of the north. May your name be proclaimed and honored and loved. So work in our land and in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.